AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and northern Delaware. Also, no matter where you are listening from, if you have a family member or friend and they're on the internet, send them an email and invite them to tune in, because we're getting a lot of new people. Very interesting, the different opinions that they have to share. I'm really honored to know that people are going out of their way to spread the word about the Buy American Made campaign and American Workers Radio. I first want to thank our panel members, who are volunteers who take time every week out of their schedule to be with us here on American Workers Radio to give their opinions and also educate people about what is really happening. I want to thank Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, who won't be with us today. He is the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. And I also want to thank Jim Austin, who joined us for last week's broadcast. His updates were very interesting and very much appreciated. I would like to just take a moment to say that I want to thank the many, many people that stopped me during the Polish American Festival at America's Częstochowa in Doylestown to let me know that they tune into the program. Now, we are giving out flyers. We are in the advertising book, which is distributed to over 20,000 people. And there was an enormous attendance. And it's nice to know that people tune in. They are taking this to heart. They see what's going on. And I'll be there at the festival again during this second weekend. That'll be Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th from 12 noon until 8 p.m. I am by the main stage. When you get up there, make sure you stop by and let me know that you tune in. And of course, pick up our papers and our flyers and do send it around to family and friends. And if you are on the internet, make sure you spread the word, email all of our rebroadcasts and everything else that we send out. Go to the front page of American Workers Radio. You'll find several links on there that have a lot of information. Well, I am here with the very well-known Rich Logis, who is in rare form today, and Mark Andel, who's also in rare form. Well, guys, before I let you say anything, I just want to say one thing to start us off. Here we are just days after another Labor Day celebration, and when I look back to my commentary from last week, back in 1882, when the first Labor Day celebration took place, 95% of all working age and able-bodied Americans were employed. In 1882, 95% of all working age and able-bodied Americans were employed. Today, 94 plus million Americans are out of the workforce. And in just 60 days, we're going to go out to vote for a president, Congress members, some Senate seats are up, and many levels of statewide elections. That's why, for the employment opportunities that this could bring about, bringing in new people who will talk about jobs, talk about our infrastructure, talk about education that leads to job skills. That's what our broadcast and all of you are all about. With that in mind, I'm going to ask today Rich Logis to start us off.
Hey, guys. Good morning. And good morning to our listeners. And I hope everyone had a really great holiday. Michael, if I may, I want to start my comments with a public service announcement that I'm going to make between now and November. There are 61 days remaining till Election Day. In most states, the voter registration deadline is within the next 5 to 6 weeks. Tick-tock. The clock is ticking. And let me make a point about registration. Once October 15th, 16th mark rolls around, and I engage in a political discussion with someone who initiates the conversation with me, my first question is not going to be you for Trump, you for Clinton, you whatever, liberal, Republican. My first question is going to be, are you registered to vote? And if they say no, then I can't spend any more time with that person because, Michael, that person has rendered him or herself irrelevant.
Right.
Don't get mad at me. Listen, don't get mad at me because you rendered yourself irrelevant. I have to go and spend time with people who decided to make themselves relevant and decided to put themselves into the game. If you take yourself willingly out of the game, don't get upset at me that I decide to not spend time with you because you're not relevant in the electoral process until at least 2 more years. But if this thing goes south, it's not going to matter 2 years from now, and it's not going to matter 4 years from now, because I'm still convinced that 75% of Republicans in Congress are going to pull the lever for Clinton in November. Because what the media suppresses is the fact that this rising of Trump is as much, Michael, a rebellion against the Republicans as it is the Democrats. So what the media does, which most of the media is a public relations firm for the Democratic Party, they bring a bunch of losers up and give them primetime FaceTime like Mitt Romney and say, hey, Mittens, for whom are you going to vote? And he says, well, I think I'm going to vote for a third party this year. And then the media spins the narrative to say, oh, look how fractured the party is. What the media knows, Michael, is that voters who have decided to support Trump's campaign are happy that the party's fractured, but they're going to spin Trump as a sinking ship. 61 days remain until our elections.
And you're right. And Rich, I want to remind everyone that right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, there is a register to vote link. It goes right to register to vote. When you go on there, it goes directly to registertovote.com, and that allows people from all 50 states, no matter where you're from, to go on, register, send it in, and they will send you a registration form in the mail. You print it out. It's online. You print it out, sign it, put it in the mail, and you will receive your registration card. You're absolutely right. There's absolutely no reason for anyone not to be registered. This is probably the greatest and most important election in America's history, at least in our time, because modern communications has really educated us as to what's happening in the country. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some of the things that people had told me at the Częstochowa Polish Festival are amazing to me. What is going on? And no one in elected office, people who have been in for 18 and 22 years, have nothing on their agenda to make change that's going to help the workers. All they do is continue to say, we need more taxes, money for this, we need money for this, but no remedy as to how the people are going to get the money to pay the taxes.
Michael, I have to thank Mark again because I brought this up last week, Mark, and it bears repeating. A couple weeks ago, Mark said, and I think it went over a lot of people's heads, Mark said, I think this is our last chance. Do you believe that, though? See, do you believe that it's our last best chance to stop the bleeding? And I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to say that some people within our circle here of the radio show seem to get more excited picking apart Trump's negatives than Clinton's negatives. So my offer to our listeners is this. You put all the bad of Trump on paper. I'll put all the bad of Clinton. And we'll present it to our audience. But a forewarning, you're going to lose badly. Now, I can't convince Michael. I can't, you know, hold the gun to someone's head, the proverbial hold the gun to the head, make someone think differently. All I can present, like we do, are our opinions, our facts, and evidence. And I believe that the evidence shows overwhelmingly that Mark is right, that this is our last best chance.
And you know what else, Rich? I'm kind of disappointed, but maybe getting a little more cheered up as I listen this time around. There hasn't been that much about jobs, creating new industries, getting the kids back in the classrooms with diplomas. When they come out, they actually have a job skill and a job to go to. That's starting to be discussed by some of the local school boards. Of course, it's at the influence of little programs like ours and people on other broadcasts who are now starting to say, go out and put the claw down on your school district.
I'm disappointed. Listen, I'm disappointed about that also. But what I call this election to me is a stop the bleeding election. Like, if you went to the hospital bleeding to death, the nurses aren't going to say, can someone take Blehosh's dinner order to see what he wants tonight? I think meatloaf's on the menu. They're going to stop your bleeding. Hey, what's up? Potatoes au gratin, escargot, and Dom Perignon on the menu. They're not going to ask you what your dinner order is, right, Michael? They're going to say, we need to stop this man's bleeding. Then when you stop the bleeding, then we say, ah, let's go on the road. How do we heal this? How do we recover this? This is a stop the bleeding election. This is why I tell people, just try your best to tune out the negativity, tune out the fact that there's, although in fairness to Trump, he's been more policy substantive recently. Clinton's in hiding because the left is trying to run out the clock. They have a run out the clock strategy, out of sight, out of mind. They figured, put Clinton in hiding, which, by the way, where she was out raising, I think the figure I saw was $150 million.
Well, there was an event.
You know that little pesky Citizens United thing. When the other guys do it, it's right wingism. When the Democrats do it, it's for the good of the people. Even though the gazillionaires and their money and their industries, vast majority support Democrat. That is backed up by evidence. And that's for you, Mike Sessions. Thank you for your story about that, because Mike had brought up something, so I presented what I think is a good case to show the gazillionaires of our country, millionaires, billionaires in their industries, have, for a long time, overwhelmingly supported Democrat. Doesn't mean the Republicans aren't in it. So Clinton's been she's been out of sight, out of mind, Mark. So the figure was, hey, let's get her in hiding. Trump will screw up. Well, guess what? Hasn't really screwed up.
Yeah, this is getting it's getting kind of interesting. And
I'm with you, Michael. I'm with you. But you know what? This is the first step. Stop the bleeding. Mark, I'm sorry. I took a lot of your time.
But wait, let me just say one more thing, Rich. You mentioned about the voting. Make sure you fill that out and send it in long before October the 1st. There is an enormous amount of people registering. So they are pleading with people to get on the internet program, registertovote.org, and do that as quickly as possible, because by October the 1st, many of the states want it 30 days or more prior to the election. The state of Pennsylvania is 30 days prior to the election. So if you get it in by October the 1st, that'll be perfect. Father Time wastes no time, and he's the only person I know that's undefeated. So don't let the clock beat you. Make sure you register to vote and be prepared. We don't tell you how to vote. We talk about facts and figures. We're asking people to be proactive so that we don't waste another day in America. And no matter what happens, Rich and Mark and everyone listening, only one person is going to win on November the 8th. Let that be the person you want by having the majority of the American people at the polls on November the 8th. Mark, what are you feeling about all this?
How you doing, Mike and Rich and you know, Henry. I guess Larkin's on the road, but I hope you guys all had a great Labor Day. We were blessed with nice weather up here in Buffalo, which is rare, but we had beautiful weather. Beautiful Labor Day with all the workers and the doers hopefully celebrated some time. Rich, I'm glad after Isabella. I was worried that you might not still be fired up, but Isabella didn't slow you down. You got your coffee. You know, you guys are touching on everything. I happen to, you know, Made in America, of course, Made in America store founder, owner, you know, with these buses coming in, every bus person has just been awesome lately. They really give me a good feel of what's going on with the country. They're paying attention. A lot of them are whispering different things to me. But, you know, down the bottom line is they love America. They want good change. I watched, I don't know if anybody caught the World News last night with David Muir, and, you know, both interviewed Donald Trump and his vice president, and Hillary also. And, you know, I think they said, you know, they're Rich, they use your line with 62 days left, I think, yesterday. And it was good. But, you know, the bottom line, they're talking about tax returns and all that. But when Hillary talks about that confidential, confidential emails that she lacked, I talked to a lot of military people. Nobody could get away with what she did. It's just, to me, she's ineligible because of that. And she was saying the sea was small or whatnot. That's just a big, big item to cover up, Rich. And I think you agree with that. But to get back to Made in America, I just think it is the answer of 90% of our problems, giving us jobs, lowering crime, putting people to work. 50-50 fair trade. They did both talk a little bit about jobs. Like you said, Mike, we just have to pound. Jobs take care of a lot of our problems in this country. So that's my take on, you know, but this election is so important. I talk to my boys, make sure they're registered. Like you said, Mike, October 1st, looking into it a little bit, but you got to make sure you're registered beforehand. A lot of people don't know that.
And also, I want to just add that if you are going to be away from your polls, get your absentee ballots now. The most important thing I can say is I really want to see what is on the minds of the American people. When I ask people at the festival, I ask about voting. I give them a flyer. They said I saw it in the ad book. I mean, there's so much positive stuff going on. But the major thing is people are looking for the first presidential debate. I think it's going to be an unbelievable amount of people watching TV. And I'm hoping to see more that's being paid attention to critical issues like jobs in America. That's the main thing we have to worry about. What's taking place on our shores?
Well, Michael, you know, you give a lot to think about.
Who has the best plan? Mark, I'm going to ask both of you. Who has given you any kind of a plan you can latch onto and say that is the person who's talking the most about jobs and has the best plan? Have you seen that person yet, Mark?
You know, to be honest, I think it's Donald Trump. You know, when he started picking on the imports, we got to tax the imports, the other countries overseas. Why these trade deals? I met a guy off the bus yesterday. He was from Cleveland, Ohio. He worked at Rocket Dean, which was a California-based company. They made rocket engines. And real interesting guy, but he said in the 90s our rocket engines were given to the Russians to build. And I'm like, what do you mean the Russians? Oh, no, they were building our engines. The government had gave it away. They snuck it into a different area of our plant and didn't want to tell us, but we just had to do the finishing parts. But when you talk about all these crazy things that happen in these trade deals, it's just unfair. And I think Trump said at one point, I mean, negotiations we just are not good at. You can't give our jobs away to get ahead or for any covered-up deal. I think taxing the imports is a great way to start. Make sure and make it able for these businesses, and Larkin would back me with the supply chain. We know it's going to take time, but, Mike, we've got to get back to building here in America, and the only way to get that started is to give incentives to tax the imports and make these companies come back and give them the right incentives to do just that.
And you know, Mark, you're absolutely right. And one of the things about the trade
deal, it's not crazy, it's what we need to do.
Yeah, it's one of the things about the trade deals, which is really crazy to me, is when you make a trade deal, you try to do it with the individual countries, with the individual businesses, putting all these people in a bushel basket and saying, here are 12 countries we're going to work with on this particular thing. I don't really think that's good leadership. I think that every country has something to offer, and we have something to offer. And we can't take in 90% of their stuff and send them 10% of our stuff.
And Mike,
that kind of a deal is no good.
When we bless a trade deal, if there needs to be one, we should give it a trial program, a trial period of time.
2 years.
Where if it's not working,
right,
we cancel it or we adjust it. I mean, we launch things all the time and never look again at them.
Well,
and
that's right.
Many, many people.
Well, that is where I believe whoever runs the last day of the president and wins better have that on the top of their agenda. I don't think, as I said several months ago, whoever gets in the office is not going to have the easy time as presidents to date have had, because the American people are now riled up. They want action. They don't want to hear this idioticness about we don't have the jobs and this and that. Just for the record, employment in America is now at a crisis. For your information, when unemployment compensation was enacted, government leaders had a few categories to consider. Number one, working people paying into the unemployment fund in the case of emergency. And then there was part two, people unemployed for a reasonable amount of time. That was the only two categories. For in more recent years, with tens of thousands of industries leaving America, there are many additional categories, which is not what the original Unemployment Compensation Act was all about. Today, we have people who are working short-term, their long-term unemployment, low possibility of being employed now or in the future because they don't have any job skills. There are people with no desire to work after 2 or 3 years of being on unemployment and public assistance program. There are people that have to be retrained. There's no money to put them into retraining programs. That's a lot of the money that's put aside for labor and industry and unemployment. We don't have the dollars to do it because we're stuck with 94 million people in the workforce, of which 300,000 people, I should say, are retiring every day. 10,000 a day or 300,000 a month retire. Then they announce we got 150,000 jobs created. They're not creating new jobs. They're just simply replacing people who retired. And that's the unfortunate part of it. They say, oh, we got 30,000 jobs a week. Well, that's not going to replace 70,000 people retiring that given week. And when you put it on a monthly basis, it's $110 million people a month that are 310,000 people a month retiring. And where do these jobs come from if we're sending them continuously overseas?
Michael, do you guys remember a while ago, actually when we had Mayor Ed from Allentown on, and I had offered at that time, this is what, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I had offered my suggestion for our foreign policy. And I wrote to the president. He never wrote back to me. He's probably still crafting a very cogent, well-thought-out response for me. He's probably researching it, so I'm sure I'll hear from him in January when he's out, you know, touring, doing his new book tour with Michelle. What I had said was our foreign policy needs to be the following. Don't call us. We'll call you. I'd like to amend that statement. And I would also like to offer that as an economic philosophy for the United States. We get kicked around because of debt, Mark, because of cheap goods, which we're all in this game. All of us are in this game, whether we like it or not. We're all in it. Cheap goods, debt, oil. We get kicked around because of oil. I had a Democrat over the weekend tell me that every time I go to put gas in my vehicle, which has pretty good gas mileage, that I'm now supporting ISIS and that I should be in favor of, I don't know, windmills or something.
Was he on a bicycle, Rich?
No, actually, he was in a $100,000 car. Okay, so I have to always hearken back to my days as a journalist. I worked as a journalist for the largest newspaper publisher in America, in the biggest limousine liberal capital of America, the New York City area. I used to joke with my Democrat colleagues that New York is so liberal that even the Republicans are Democrats. And we always used to get a big kick out of that, ha, 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 ha. So what it comes back to, Michael, is this. Remember when NAFTA was sold as, and Al Gore did it, Al Gore is on a short list, the biggest American scam artist in history. Remember when Al Gore sold NAFTA? And Republicans did too, but Gore was the cheerleader. Remember he sold it as, this is going to help Mexico. Remember that, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when it was sold, we're going to help Mexico. Well, today, many, many more people are fleeing Mexico than fleeing America. They're fleeing Mexico to come here. Americans aren't really fleeing America to go to Mexico, although some Democrats claim that they're going to move to Canada if Trump's elected. And I would like to be at, and I hope they do, because I'd like to be at the airport to wish every one of them a nice send-off, Mark. Every one of them. And
well,
why don't
they only worth 70 cents here,
Mark,
they should wait.
A side note, how come all these people don't want to move to Mexico? They got something against Mexicans? How come they always want to go to Canada? Tell me. I heard a celebrity say that she's going to move to Spain. I'm thinking, why not move to Mexico?
But wait, Mark, did I hear you just say, what's the dollar worth in Canada now?
Yeah, I laugh. So many things are going on. The dollar, Canadian dollar here is approximately 70 cents. It's only worth. So 80% at our destination stores like the Gallery Mall, One Niagara, Niagara Falls. Canadians generally come here to spend and do their shopping, especially for school and holidays. But the dollar is only worth 70 cents here. But an American dollar there is worth 130.
Interesting.
Yeah, remember that
was
Canadian dollar, that economy is in tough shape up there. I always talk how the economy is right now. They're fibbing to us on TV. It's in tough shape. And how, Mike and Rich, how did America get so selfish, greedy, and lazy? I mean, we've got to admit that we got to produce more doers than we have users.
Well, let me say this to you. You're right. And let me tell you this. When I was at the festival talking with the people, and I was talking a few minutes ago about the unemployment categories, well, most of the able-bodied people don't want to be in an unemployment situation. They want to be active and enjoy their working years and, you know, show family and friends and neighbors what they're all about. But as our jobs started to move abroad for greener pasture, so to speak, where were the political people? Where were the political people to say, what are we going to do to sustain America's economy? Every year, our debts rose since in the last 28 years. Our debt continued to go up, 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 up. It doubled in the last 8 years during the Obama administration, simply because the jobs that had left over the last 20 years now came back to haunt America, because when you do without something for a short period of time, you can understand it. But as it goes on and on and on, there's no end to it. There's no income. So you're taking tax dollars. We only take in $4 trillion a year from all tax sources to the federal government. But we're paying out $6 trillion. So that means annually we go into debt by $2 trillion. And what household could live like that on an ongoing basis? So people don't want to be unemployed, but there's no leader to date that has shown them the way. Now we have an election coming up. We're seeing more local candidates talk about jobs, talking about enterprise zones, talking about revitalizing industries that were there 10 years ago, and the building is still there and it could be restored. And we also have a presidential candidate saying, we are going to restore jobs. I don't hear that, unfortunately, from Mrs. Clinton.
Mike,
I know that Mr. Trump can restore jobs. I mean, I don't know you know, exactly what he would do personally, but I know that he would bring in the biggest team of job creators imaginable. But I'd like to see the job creators that Hillary would bring in to America from the American job builders right now, the people who are in business. I'd like to see them in a room saying this is what they're going to do to make Hillary a success if she becomes president. Yes.
Yeah, you know, what you just stated, though, we take in $4 trillion in taxes and we pay out $6 trillion a year.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. That's the lemonade stand that I talk about that they can't run.
Yep.
You know, when your parents are giving you free lemonade.
You see, it's always a temporary. When I talk to some of the political people, and I have had an opportunity to talk to a number of them in recent weeks, going to different clam bakes that they had and this and that, they had many, many years of freedom. Now they're afraid. They're really afraid. What would a Trump administration do in this country? Would he go state to state? Would he call the 50 governors together, as we discussed probably 4 years ago on this broadcast? Would he bring them in and say, governors, what are we going to do together to get your states more employment opportunities, more industries expanding and being restored? I don't hear that from Clinton. Would he do this to show that we want tariffs on the items coming in, the same way the products, the small amount of products that are shipped overseas from America are tariffed when they reach China and these other places? Why can't we have a tariff?
Yeah, and Mike, I think, I mean, nobody, I hope that people realize the time this is going to take, who's ever elected, I mean, the time that it would take to make the change. But we don't have to do the to-do list. We have to have the not-to-do list. We got to knock things off that we're doing that just are not smart.
I would like to see all the candidates, Rich, really all the candidates talk facts and figures, the bread and butter issues, speak directly to the little person, the big person, and the in-between person, and say, this is where we have to go, not where I want to go, but where we have to go if we want to save our country. Right now, Rich Loges, you have little Isabella to worry about. Right now, I'm concerned about little Gabriella. These people are here on this earth, and we have to look out for their future. They don't even know what's happening in the future. They don't even realize what's going on in America. But it's up to the people right now. And that stands the same for every person listening who has a son or a daughter in grade school, high school, college. What is the future? Why did we lose our present and our future? And what are we going to do to get it back?
We've got a good country, there's no doubt about it, but
we are
a great
the best
country.
We are, you know, the best.
We should be great, though, and there's no reason we can't be great, and we have to do our homework, and we have to work now for the kids,
you know. Absolutely. Rich and Mark and everyone listening, the last few days people were running to the television sets looking for the forecast, the storm, the this and that. Well, that's simply what we're doing, is asking the candidates to give us a forecast of what they really see as America's future. All this name and you did this and you did that, that's all crap, total crap as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to hear about blacks, whites, Asians. We are Americans, period.
And all lives matter, Mike.
All lives matter. Absolutely. I don't know any person listening right now who would say their daughter is not as important as the next daughter next door or down the street. It doesn't work like that.
Michael, you talk about our youth, and I want to tell you guys and our listeners a quick story. There's a grocery store that I go to, and, you know, it's a small store, so everybody, you know, you get familiar with the people working there. There's a young guy there, just graduated high school. Started talking politics a while ago. I asked him, are you registered to vote? I need to know if you're relevant. You know, have you rendered yourself irrelevant or relevant? No, I'm registered. So we talked a little bit, and he told me how his friends politically lean, and so we chatted. And, you know, one of the things I said to him is I said, look, whatever you may hear from media or other people, I want to tell you something. We actually do give a damn about your future. Now, that was about a month ago. Just this weekend, I was back in the store. I didn't see him. He saw me and he found me, came up to me. And he said to me, he said, Mr. Rich, I was thinking a lot about what you said, and I just want to tell you that I really appreciate that you would have said that you're thinking about our future. And I said, well, you know, thank you for that. And we chatted a little bit longer, and he said to me, I'm going to stray from my friends, and he's going to cast a vote a certain way that's going to stray from his friends. And I told him, I said, look, having courage is going to sometimes alienate you from people. You're going to sometimes almost feel, right, Mark, kind of, I mean, Mark, you say on the show how still to this day people want to commit Andel to the padded white room for doing what you do.
Absolutely.
So, you know, having the gumption, having the audacity to go and do things that you know are right. Even though we do things, guys, we're going to vote, and maybe some of us are going to cast a vote for some people whom we generally or normally wouldn't. But sometimes you got to do some things that you might not want to, but you know that you need to. I wish it were more perfect answer, Michael. I do. I came on this show 4 years ago with a calling card saying, long before I met you guys, but I think I've been consistent with this, that if we're going to have a two-party system, voters need to demand good quality choices. I'm not saying all are bad, but I'm going to tell you guys this right now. You take away Trump's name and the personality, and you just look at you. If I just gave you the issue, I just presented it to you. Donald Trump, in my opinion, looks much more like an independent third-party candidate than a standard, fair Republican. But he knew that he could not win as a third party. And none other than someone from Ralph Nader's office spoke with me just yesterday. And my answer to him was, Matt, let me tell you, even though I don't agree with all Ralph Nader's politics, I always respected that guy's principles. Unlike the liberals in Congress, Ralph Nader's actually gotten things done. Seatbelt, clean water. But I said to him, I said, Matt, I'm going to recommend to you that maybe Ralph Nader has done tremendous things, but I just think that Trump looks more like a third-party candidate than an independent. And I think, guys, that not only is it our last chance to stop the bleeding, I think it's our last chance to legitimately challenge the duopoly. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, if it goes south, all we're going to really have is just a de facto one-party country. So when tens of millions of people get a new voter registration card that has a D next to it, Mark, you're outnumbered. You get that? Michael,
yes.
Henry, Larkin, Jim, my customers, do all of us understand that you're outnumbered? And once you lose the arithmetic game, nowhere else to turn.
You know, Rich, you're right. And, you know, last 4 years ago on our broadcast, we discussed once the presidential campaign was over and once the inauguration took place, then everything went back to normal. Because the people in charge in all the departments of state and everything else, everybody did their own thing and they cared less about jobs. Our whole focus is on how are we going to create jobs and a future for people. They didn't care. And that's why when you say this is the last chance, it really is the last chance. If we don't get the people running for the top jobs to be the example that we need, we're not going to go anywhere. And it has to be when they get inaugurated in January that they go the first day and say, this is what we're going to do to improve America's economy, lower our debt, end our giving out all these money, grants to countries every year. In fact, you know what's really strange? They put it in the budget. And then all of a sudden, that money is just transferred without a proposal. There's no proposals. Well, we want to use the money for this or that in our country. They just get the money carte blanche every year.
Michael, the young man whom I met, and let me preface this statement by saying that I know personally some, I know very well, people who were Sanders supporters or considering voting for Sanders. Now, I did the math, guys. I'm not pulling this number out. Bernie Sanders has been in Congress for approximately 9,600 days. I asked my new buddy, I said, can you tell me one thing that he's done in 9,600 days? Like an actual legislation. Like Ralph Nader went and had put seatbelts in cars, right? Clean water, environment. He's actually done things. Can you tell me one? I just want one thing. Just give me one thing that he's done in 9,600 days. Just one.
That's a good point.
Of course, he said, I don't know. And so, Mark, if someone came for a job interview and you asked, and he answered nothing, do you think you'd hire him?
Well, this is the problem.
You might look further, right?
I asked my new buddy, 18. I'm going to talk to him like an adult. I'm not going to talk to him the way that others have talked to him to indoctrinate him into a little Marxist commie zombie. I asked him. I said, do you think that you'd get hired? And he said, no. And so, again, I'm not – let me be clear on this point. I am not disparaging people who support – I suspect, Michael, that the people I know who supported Sanders did so because they don't want Clinton and they're not crazy about Donald Trump. So in that sense, I really actually relate to that because that's how I've – voted like my whole adult life. You know, I've gone with the alternative party to, you know, my wasted vote, my protest vote, et cetera, et cetera. So I get that. But when you look past that stuff, and this is an election where you've got one person who's never been of this system, and voting, Michael, is always a leap of faith. I mean, you asked about a plan. Good question. But voting is always a leap of faith. And in my opinion, this is the greatest disparity between two presidential candidates in America's history. Now, some of my history friends will perhaps disagree with me, and that's fine. We can have – that's an interesting conversation. But I will tell you, in my opinion, I think that it's the greatest disparity that we've ever seen. So I'll put all the bad – of Clinton on paper, you guys could put the bad at Trump, and then we'll have a spitting match over it.
Well, there are Michael, there are yes.
And Michael, listen, one other thing, and I want to say this point. There's a point that I make to registered voters when I talk to them. It's the Democrats who believe in the political messiah stuff, like the people next to you in the Polis Center who had the young kid singing the Obama song, right? Like they're the ones who have this idea of messiah politicians. And that's because the ideology of the left is rooted in, you know, statism and Marxism, which is basically the state as God, right, Mark? The state as the capital G. Michael, when I go around, I carry something with me, and I don't know what it's called. Correct me on this. But my wife's family, when we got married and we went to the first time to Poland, my wife's family gave me the little ticket from the communist era, which had how many ounces of bread, how many ounces of milk. You know what I'm talking about,
I
right?
Do,
that
I do.
Little ticket. I carry that around with me. And I pull it out. I show people. I said, do you know what this is? And they look and say, oh, I don't know what this is.
It's a ration ticket.
It's good. I said, do you understand it? It's good that you don't know what it is in one sense. Let me tell you what it is. Okay, their ideology is rooted in the state as the God. Why work? We'll fund you. Mark, you don't need a gun. The state will protect you. Why do you need religion? The state is your God. That's exactly, Michael, you talk about debt. The spending of money is rooted in that. Now, let's be fair about this point. George W. Bush was a big spender also. So even if you allow, which I will, you allow for a couple of years with Obama and the spending, by the time Barack Obama finishes his presidency, he will have spent more money than every president before him combined. Combined. I'll allow for a couple of years. Because every president, whether we like this or not, every president inherits what the last guy got wrong. Because people get things right and wrong.
Right.
That's just the way it is, Michael. Right. You inherit. Everyone gets right and wrong. You inherit. Bush was a big spender, but Obama has spent more. Will have spent more than everybody combined. Why? Because Obama's ideology. He was brought up on. The state is your God and your provider and your savior. Do you guys follow me? And yet, the Democrats have actually managed to nominate someone worse than the worst president in American history. Bravo!
Richard, I have to tell you something. I mean, every day is a new experience for me. And we were saying that Larkin was in travel. Well, I want to tell you something. Larkin has just walked into the studio.
Did he really?
Logis, you... I've never heard anybody drone on like that in my entire life.
You ran over, Larkin.
I gave you guys my word. If you thought I was nuts before Isabella, you ain't seen nothing yet, and I'm a man of my word.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, Lark.
Hey, Mark, how are you? How are things in Buffalo, New York?
Good. Doing well. Nice weather right now, so we're enjoying it.
You know, this
so
guy
I had
is...
to come. I had to come to the studio just to see if these two guys still had crossed eyes, and yeah, they're both wall-eyed now.
You know, a few weeks ago, Larkin was in town, and he came just walking in the door to do the radio. And I just every time he comes, it's almost unbelievable. Today, I was shocked. Larkin, you are the best as always, a man who can never be predicted. I'm going to ask Larkin, what are you thinking about the candidates as far as who's talking about jobs and America's future?
You know, I got to tell you something. And these are the remarks I had prepared for last week before I got summarily unseated by Jim Austin. But that's a joke. Nobody's laughing. Okay. Here's the deal. I have a brother who's about 5 years older than me, and he has been something short of a communist his entire life. Socialism is too far right for him. He's a communist. And we have discovered in our old age that we now agree with just about everything that that we talk about, and it's kind of frightening. I'm trying to figure out have I gone that far left, or has he gone that far right? But he was talking to me the other day, and he said... I said, do you have any new ideas about what we can do to straighten out this mess? And he said, well, I have one that would address a lot of our problems. We have this military machine in America that makes us number one. You take away our military and we're nothing but Greece. So we all agree with that. Take away our military might and we're just like the nation of Greece. But at any rate, what he said to me was, take that military might and take the Army Corps of Engineers and turn it into an engineer corps. Continue to provide defense and to have the best defense in the world, but turn the Army's primary attention, Army, Navy, Marines, whatever, towards engineering us out of our infrastructure problems.
Yes.
And hiring people as Roosevelt did during his era and get everybody back to work with a decent wage and change the work ethic in this country to be something positive. I applauded that idea. I thought that was a really, really a great idea. And it put money in everybody's pocket, something beyond the pittance that they get now on welfare and some of the other entitlement programs. But I thought that was a pretty good idea. Where am I on the campaign? It continues to mystify me. I cannot believe that Donald Trump has caught Hillary Clinton and that they're in a statistical dead heat. This is going to be an extremely interesting election. I think we all knew in 08 and 012 that ultimately Barack was going to win. We all wished for some different outcomes maybe, but you know, Barack had the momentum. I've never seen anybody like Hillary Clinton with such backward momentum. I mean, she can't win for losing. And, you know, I know she says the press picks on her and nobody likes her. Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, you know, you make yourself vulnerable. You blow it a handful of times. And guess what? You're going to get tagged every time, especially by a press that's very interested in selling commercials and newspaper ads. So
now, if I ask you this question, Larkin, from what you saw to date, which of the two candidates, without saying how you would vote, which of the two candidates impressed you with their agenda for America's economy and its future?
Well, that would be unfair to answer without saying, first of all, that Hillary Clinton is a poised, seasoned, lifetime politician. She knows how to appeal to the masses. On the other hand, Mr. Trump is not. Mr. Trump has a bad habit of saying whatever comes to his mind. And I'm sure that a lot of the same thoughts have come to Hillary and anybody else that's run for the president before her. But Donald Trump has a tendency to just blurt it out. What's happened and why he's in a statistical dead heat now is that his handlers, he's improved that situation of the people standing behind him, and his handlers have turned him into a little bit more of a polished kind of leader. There hasn't been an ounce of leadership in his blood the first 3 or 7 months, or however long it's been, of this campaign. But he now is exposing the country to leadership. I bumped into a guy getting on the plane this morning coming out of Jacksonville, and he had on a Trump 2016. And he said, I said to him, do you have a hard time wearing that hat? I mean, do people say stuff to you? And he said, you know, people do comment. He said, I have to be up north to get the comments. When I get off the plane, I think he said he was going to Chicago or something. When he gets off the plane, he said a lot of people will have a lot to say to him because it's so polarized up there. But I said, do you care? And he said two consecutive bad words that my mother would have soaked my mouth and not allowed me to speak for weeks had I used one of them, let alone both of them together. And the end of the phrase was, so I don't care. Listen, Trump's followers are a bunch of very, very angry middle and lower class people in this country. They're angry. They're mad. Things are really not going their way. None of it got any better under Obama. None of it got any better under Bush. And Trump is unconventional. He's just different. And he says exactly what's on his mind. And he says, you know, he said, you know, one of the first things I might do is consider getting the heck out of NATO. Well, I think that the entire free world took this deep gasp. Yet the fact of the matter is, while they gather together and talk a lot, NATO hadn't done anything in decades. Nothing. They have nothing to show for the organization other than talking in some very lame treaties that people maintain as long as it's in their favor.
And we continue to pay the bill.
And we continue to pay the bill. And we support that like so many other things around the world that we support. And I don't know. I mean, that's my take. Who am I voting for? I wouldn't say, because I honestly don't know. I really don't. The only thing I can promise is that it won't be Hillary.
Well, I will say this. We I want to remind everybody, as our time gets closer, that we do have an excellent link on the front page right above Larkin's picture. You'll see all Americans are urged to vote on Election Day. It is the link that goes directly to registertovote.org. It covers all 50 states. When you send that in, please do it before October the 1st. Send that in. They will send you your registration card in the mail. No hassle. And your printing that or having that on your computer is your proof also that you did register to vote in case there's a problem. So, also, make sure, as Larkin would say, we need to make sure that people have those ballots in case you're not going to be in town. If you're going on a cruise or you're going to visit your daughter or son in some other state, have your absentee ballot given to you on the day it's supposed to be provided. Get it in. I want to see everyone at the polls or their absentee ballots there so we know how the American people feel.
So, you know, I didn't get a chance to listen to I turned on the radio and it was 28 after at the airport. So I broke all kind of land speed records and there are two cops outside waiting for me. But I'm going to say this, and I don't know whether you guys have talked about it or not. But this election, as it stands right now, to me, hangs on the very first debate. Yes. Not the second one, not the third one, not the fifth one. It's the very, very first debate. Because as Americans, we are so easily impressed one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I think if Donald Trump comes out, first of all, if Hillary Clinton has a coughing spell on that podium, write her off. Write her off.
And you know, there's going to be some sort of a town hall meeting tonight with Matt Lauer. I don't know exactly what time it is. Check your cable listing for when that's going to be. Listen to them. They're both going to be interviewed by Matt today, Trump and Hillary. That'll give you a barometer of what's to come.
So I think I heard the other day on one of the news rags, I saw that they expect this audience by twofold to be the largest audience in the history of the world. And that everybody from China,
everybody
in the world is going to be watching this debate.
Date is it, guys? It's the end of September.
It's the 26th, I believe. The 26th of September. And I understand, it's exactly what I heard the other day, Larkin. People from all over the world have already had their time frames and, you know, their time zones to be there to watch it live.
So I called Obama, got his office, and said, listen, I got an idea. If we turn the first debate into a pay-per-view, we could eliminate the debt. Seriously. I mean, that's how you have to think, isn't it?
Larkin, you nailed it.
Yep. Pay-per-view.
Man, this is it. Larkin.
Only Rich. Funny because it's true.
Oh, Henry, thank you so much. It's almost that time. I want to ask everybody for some closing remarks. Let's start off with Rich.
Oh, Larkin, welcome. And I just took some notes that I'm going to get to next week, so you better be on next week. everybody, find out your state deadlines. Get registered to vote. Get yourself in the game. Don't render yourself irrelevant.
And go on the front page of American Workers Radio and click on the U.S. debt clock, because that's information provided by the government to tell you where we are. Larkin Connolly.
Yeah, look at the ballot very closely before you step into that booth and know who you're going to vote for them and why you're going to vote for them, and as well as all of the amendments and everything else that's being considered. Know who you're going to vote for before you step in there.
And Dr. Mark.
I hope Larkin's car is not getting towed away, but Mike, you can help him out there. But, you know, people love America. Be proud of your country. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, vote with your dollar also. But this voting season is very important, like Rich and Mike and Larkin say. Register to vote. You know, do your part in honor of all those that served our country. So have a great day, guys.
And, Mark, my wife is driving the rental car, around the block in a circle listening to the program.
I was picturing you running, Larkin.
I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend, the 10th and the 11th, at the Polish Festival at Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. In behalf of Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Henry Czaplinski, I'm Michael Blihash. I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for going out and spending more of your dollars on products made and assembled here in the USA. Spread the word, and of course, urge people to visit our internet site at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Thanks, guys.
Have a great week, guys.